A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. In the evening of the first day of the week, the doors were closed in the room where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them. He said to them, "Peace be with you." And he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. And he said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I am sending you." After saying this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. For those whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven. For those whose sins you retain, they are retained." The Gospel of the Lord.
You know how, well, you probably know better than I do, how when two people get married, their lives change. So in a way, they give up their individual lives and begin to share one new life together. And of course, that very sharing is what makes their united life better, richer, and fuller. Well, at least that's the theory. But I'm not married, so I can't say. But in a sense, the Feast of Pentecost that we celebrate today, the giving of the Holy Spirit, is a bit like that. In the gift of the Holy Spirit, we Christians now, instead of being isolated individuals, share in a new, richer, and better life. Really, that's what the gift of languages or tongues, which we hear about in the first reading, is all about. In essence, the apostles' ability to speak many tongues isn't so much about that particular miraculous event. Rather, it's a symbol of humanity's divisions being healed and overcome. If we can talk to each other, then aggression and the survival of the fittest are not our only option. If we can talk together, we can live together constructively, sharing what we have and what we are, and so building each other up. The gift of languages, then, is really a symbol of a new possibility, of a new shared life. And of course, humanity not being at war with each other has a double aspect. Because how often do we react aggressively to others? Because really, it's about the disunity we experience in ourselves. And so this new shared life is not just about our relationship with others. It's about the disunity within ourselves being healed. The gift of the Holy Spirit, God's life in us, doesn't give us superhuman powers, but it offers us a different and a better way of living. The gift of the Holy Spirit is God sharing his life with us. God gives himself to us so that we can share his life. In the readings today, we get two versions of the giving of the Holy Spirit. And they both give us an insight into what God's life is like. In the first reading, the gift of the Spirit is given in power. So you remember it's the Feast of Pentecost and the apostles are united in the house. And there is a powerful wind, we're told. There's noise that filled the whole house. There are tongues of fire. And then there is this very conspicuous miracle of the gift of speech. And what it does is it's showing that this new life that God gives us is momentous, powerful, and transforming. But then in the gospel, we get a very different version of the same event. So in the gospel, we read, Jesus came and stood among them. It's a very sober statement. There's no fanfare or show. And then he says to them, peace be with you. And then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. It's a very different way of telling about the giving of the same gift. In that simplicity, Christ, who still carries with him the wounds of his passion, stands there and offers his peace. And this is how God triumphs. This is how God wins. Not by power, but by patience, humility, and by his sufferings on Calvary. And that's the point of the two versions of Pentecost that we get today. The Holy Spirit we are given, the life we are given, is powerful, but not in the way our limited human prejudices would assume. God's life transforms us utterly, not, though, by an aggressive assertion of authority, but by forgiving and by every day patiently refashioning us and building us up so that we can share Christ's peace. And so the two versions of Pentecost that we get are a bit like marriage. On your wedding day, you have the big showy ceremony with the flowers, the music, the bride's dress, and the groom in his kilt or his top hat, and all of that sort of thing. And that's right, because something momentous is happening. Two people are beginning a new, richer, fuller life together. So in a sense, that ceremony is the showy great noise and fire of the first reading. But that same married life becomes real in the small, humble details of everyday life. Forgiving each other a lot, I imagine. Getting up in the middle of the night to see why the baby is crying. Changing nappies, taking the kids to school, bearing patiently through the difficult teenage years, and eventually perhaps grandchildren. Going out, doing long hours. Illustration, there you go, as if by magic, my visual illustration. Going out, doing long hours in a job you don't really like to put food on the table. Being embarrassed at Mass when you have to take the child to the toilet. In sickness and in health, for richer, for poorer, for better or for worse, in the middle of all that stuff, in a hidden and humble way, the great ceremony of a couple's wedding day becomes the reality of their shared life. And I suppose that's the second version of Pentecost that we get in the simplicity and the humility of our Lord. And that's what the Holy Spirit does for us in the church, in the struggles of every day, married or otherwise, in the boring, mundane, sometimes painful, and humiliating details of our life. The Holy Spirit gradually makes real the life of Christ in us. And that life, though humble, contains within it all the power of thunder and fire, because it heals us, overcomes our divisions, and makes us whole again. So it is right that today we should pray for an outpouring of the Spirit, but we should also pray for the wisdom and the humility to recognize when God's Holy Spirit is at work in our lives.